a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, the Paul Gallant Show. Jason Alexander, Costanza, on the mound for the Astros this afternoon as they look to take 2-3 against the Colorado Rockies. Should have been a sweep. And I guess you can't really look at today's game as a
you down with day
by default win. You can't quite do it. Not just yet. I would be down with the Astros winning today. I would have been more down with a sweep. Okay, I'm just saying. No Yordan today. What? That's kind of weird. And on top of that, hey, is Lance McCullers going to come out of the bullpen? Maybe. I wonder what his bullpen entrance theme would be. If I had a bullpen entrance theme, this is something I agreed on with my friend from college. We both thought that the best thing to come out from the bullpen, music-wise, would be I Want My MTV by the Dire Straits. Money for Nothing is, I think, the official title of the song. It's just got a sick guitar riff. It's perfect amount of guitar riff to run in from the bullpen on. I do think that that show pony, dude on the Mets with his trumpet, I think that man sucks, personally. It's very egomaniacal. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Every single Wednesday, generally, we react to what the Astros general manager, Dana Brown, had to say on the Astros flagship. Here, we call this segment, Are You Down with Dana Brown?
You down with Dana B?
This ball club's too good.
You down with Dana B?
He's pretty much given me the steering wheel and said, hey, this is your gig.
You down with Dana B?
These guys have been out for so much of the season that it feels like we're acquiring two new players.
I guess we'll see.
Are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown was asked about the Houston Astros lineup, and he said this, quote, I think there's enough good guys in this lineup, .. pause. I agree with him there. I do agree that there are enough guys in this lineup that should be scoring more runs against the dude pitching for the Rockies last night who came into the outing with a 2-10 record and an ERA approaching 7. There are enough good guys in this lineup when they are fully healthy. Will they ever be fully healthy? I don't know, because I don't know what the hell's going on with Yordan Alvarez, and I don't know what the hell's going on with Yiner Diaz, who was dealing with his own version of hand discomfort. His hand is sore when he swings a bat. Please do the necessary imaging. Top to bottom, this lineup, with Altuve, with the way Christian Walker's been hitting of late, with Jeremy Peña, with Yordan Alvarez, with Carlos Correa, with Jesus Sanchez, there are certainly enough names, and if you want to put a healthy Yiner Diaz in there, you can. There are enough names here, Mauricio Dubon, Victor Caratini with the season he's been having, to look at this lineup and say, yeah, this is a plus lineup. Even as we wait to see if we will see Isak Paredes again this year, even if we are wondering, hey, is Cam Smith about to go on a tear? Because Cam Smith has struggled for such a long time. But the second part of this quote from Astros GM Dana Brown is where he gets into politician mode, and this is where I am not down with Dana Brown. This lineup, there really is no escape. No, you can't do that. Because generally, teams the Astros go up against, when the Astros get guys on the bases, the Astros let them escape. They're like a cat, but a domesticated house cat that hasn't had to live on the streets and fight for survival, playing with something. My cat is not murderous unless there is a dog in the near vicinity where she becomes a psycho and thinks that she's Mike Tyson. But cockroach, bug, wasp, mouse. Arya doesn't do a damn thing. She just looks at it. And that's what the Astros are sometimes with runners in scoring position. They are a domesticated cat who just doesn't have that killer instinct anymore, you know? More, are you down with Dana Brown? Dana Brown was asked about the Astros' final stretch run. Quote, this team is definitely capable. You just have to get the job done. Duh. Both of those things. We're built for the postseason. Are you down with that? That one is tough for me because I do not know what their bullpen is. I like Brian Abreu as a closer, but I'm assuming Josh Hader is gone for the season. And after that, I don't know who to trust. And it seems like the Astros are now on the verge of experimenting with Lance McCullers in that role. And I think we've heard enough from Lance over the years that it makes it seem like he doesn't want that kind of role. And I also just wonder, because Lance has these innings sometimes where it's a bit of a mess, a lot of balls, a lot of pitches that are out of control. Like, how many times when you plug him in is he going to do well? There's a lot of guys out there who you're like Brian King or Bennett Sousa. So there's a lot of guys in this bullpen that I feel like we're going to potentially be mad at come postseason time. So built for the postseason, I'm not sure I'm quite there yet. Dana Brown on the last 30 games of the year for the Astros. You have to cut down on your mistakes. Jeremy Pena.
Jeremy Pena botched that double play on Tuesday.
We control our own fate. I do buy that. I am down with Dana Brown on that. We're still in the driver's seat. I am down with Dana Brown on that. But they should be in a different kind of driver's seat. They should be in the driver's seat where they have one of the top two seeds in the American League, which seems far-fetched, even though the Astros don't have that difficult of a schedule down the stretch. We still have to play Seattle as well. Yeah, we know. It is a Daikin Park for what it's worth. Astros have a tougher schedule than the Mariners for the next couple of weeks. Like, significantly more difficult, in my opinion. For the Mariners, 3 against Cleveland, 3rd place in the Central. 3 against Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay, just like the games before, we're in Cleveland. 4th place in the East. 3 in Atlanta, 4th in the NL East. 3 against St. Louis, below 500, 4th in the Central. 4 against the Angels, last place in the West. 3 against a Royals team that is in 2nd place in the Central. 3 against the Astros. 3 against the Rockies, who stink. 3 against the Dodgers, while the Astros have 1 against the Rockies, 4 against the Angels, 3 against the Yankees in 3rd place and have won 7 of 10. 3 against the Rangers on the road. 3 against the Rangers at Daikin Park. 3rd place, above 500, have won 6 of 10, tied for the 2nd best stretch in the American League. 3 against the Blue Jays, 1st in the American League East and technically in the American League. 3 against the Braves, who have won 6 of 10, even if they are 4th place in the NL East. I know, the Mariners play them too. 3 against the A's, 4th place in the AL West, have won 7 of 10. And then they have 3 to wrap up the season against the Angels. It's a tougher schedule. I don't think there's any debate about that. So they are still in the driver's seat. They still have to play Seattle. They do control their fate. But no more mistakes. We've seen, I think, enough mistakes in this series against the Rockies. That is Are You Down with Dana Brown, where we react to what the Houston Astros general manager, when he's on the Astros flagship station, has to say. It's always an adventure with Dana Brown. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Doing some spin zone for Chase Dollander. Dollander, his ERA apparently at home is 10, and his road ERA is 3.64. You know what? That's a nice spin zone. That's a nice spin zone. Appreciate that text. Fun facts. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Up next on this radio program of ours, the Texans continue to double down with Joe Mixon and the rationale for not telling us what the hell happened and what he's dealing with and when he might be back. Are you okay with that? Because I know that I'm not, personally. I'm annoyed by it. But ultimately, it's about you more than anyone. It's about the fans, right? And I'm even going to put what the team wants to the side, because they're going to say, oh, it was a distraction. Oh, we're player friendly. Whatever. I mean, the disingenuous argument that you're making as to why we're only out to be first. Like, no, we're curious. But if, as a fan, Are you okay with what the Texans are doing when it comes to Joe Mixon? You'll hear some more of what they had to say yesterday as they continue to keep us in the dark about Joe Mixon's status. Next, it's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can also join us. What's going on here? My computer sometimes acts up and I feel like such an old person out there. You can also join us on YouTube. That's new. At ESPN Houston on Twitch at ESPN 975 or on the brand new ESPN Houston app, which is available for your Apple device or your Android device. I'm assuming that most Apple devices are iPhones. Anyway, the Houston Texans have continued their policy of feeding everyone bleep and keeping them in the dark with injuries when it comes to Joe Mixon. We know that Joe Mixon suffered a foot or ankle injury at some point this offseason. That is all we know. We don't know if it was a foot. We don't know if it was an ankle. We do know that he has had a lot of touches over his career, a lot of tread on the tires, right? The tires are starting to get bald at age 29. Gesundheit just sneezed off the microphone. Didn't want anyone to hear that. We know that Joe Mixon is going to be out for the first four games of the season, but we don't know how he suffered said injury, when we can expect him back on the field. And I think a lot of people are curious. NFL teams are very paranoid about the flow of any information. They don't want you to know a damn thing about anything. And I get that to a degree. Every team wants to have a competitive advantage, but there's only a few reasons that the Texans would be so secretive when it comes to whatever the hell Joe Mixon is dealing with. And why they will defer to when asked, hey, why is he on the non-football injury list? Oh, that's the NFL. That's the NFL. As Jose Altuve goes yard to left field to give the Astros a 1-0 lead. They're going to look at any information that puts a player in jeopardy. That's how they'll frame it. Or that embarrasses said player, as information that only they should have. And I understand that. I do. What I don't understand is why the Texans keep on framing the back and forth that we have with them trying to get this information as if we are in it for nefarious reasons. And it's a very convenient straw man to create. Yeah, the media, you know, being first culture. There's no accountability for you. Blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, I know all we want to know is what the hell happened. I don't even care about the time frame for injury. All I want to know is what happened. What did Joe do? What did the Texans medical staff do? That's it. I think a lot of fans want that. But do all of them want it? Because that's what I'm asking you right now. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday being asked about Joe Mixon's status by a couple of reporters.
For Joe's situation, Sarge, we just take it one day at a time. And, you know, Joe has played a lot of football. Whenever that time comes for Joe to be back and get back in the fold, it won't be anything revolutionary that he hasn't seen before or he hasn't done from the football perspective. Joe's an outstanding football player. So whenever that time comes, I feel like he'll have a very easy transition back to football.
Is your expectation that at some point this year he'll be available to you?
my expectation is for Joe, we're taking it one day at a time, and when he's ready to be back, he'll be back.
Feed him bleep, keep him in the dark. Belichick did the same thing. Lots of other coaches have done the same thing. Lots of other executives have done the same thing when asked about an injury in the time frame for a recovery. There's been a lot of weird things said in L.A., for example, about Matt Stafford's health this offseason. Apparently he's fine. Apparently he's going to be ready to go week one. We'll see if it's the same Matt Stafford we've seen back in the day. But hand up, speaking only for myself, I'm not here to be first when it comes to reporting injury news. I'm not. I don't really care. Reporting a story first is stressful and not fun. I broke a story a decade ago, and I was not at all a fan of the process of that story being proven to be true. Texans had a game against the Titans. They benched Jake Locker for Zach Mettenberger. I reported that, and people were coming after me, and I was like, you know what? F this. I don't want to put out information that I have to like wait to be confirmed, even if I know that information behind the scenes is true. Because there are so many people like, you suck, F you. Like, I don't want none of that anymore. And I know a lot of people in my shoes feel the same way. Christian Walker just went yard, by the way. Astros up 2-0, bottom of the first inning. I'm not here to be first. I always want to be right. I actually do take pride in the integrity I have when it comes to actually reporting on things. Because every now and then I do put on the reporter hat. But when I'm doing this show, I'm trying to have fun. I'm trying to entertain people, you know? And I suppose finding out what the hell happened to Joe Mixon isn't necessarily entertaining, but like, how are people not more curious about it? A lot of fans are like, oh, well, this is going to distract from focus on week one. No, it's not. It's not going to distract anyone. That's a load of crap. Complete load of crap. They have to do these availabilities once a week, a couple of times a week. If you're a head coach, if you're a player, you have to do it. Is getting asked an annoying question going to distract the team? I'm sure there are Texans players who are curious about what happened, and I don't necessarily know that all of them are in the know about what went down. I know they all would like him to be back out there, much like I would like him to be back out there, much like the Texans would like him to be back out there because he's the best running back in that running back room. No offense to Nick Chubb. No offense to Damian Pierce. No offense to Woody Marks. He's the best one in the group, even if he's not 100%. I feel pretty strongly about that. Now, whatever foot injury he's dealing with now, is he better than all those guys? Okay, that's a conversation for another day. But if the Texans just said, yeah, we're not telling you, I'd actually be more okay with what they're doing, which is framing it like we're asking for nefarious reasons and like that's all we're about. I know I'm not about that. I'm not. Believe it or not. I'm not here to be first. I'm not here for people to think that I'm always the guy with the information first, you know? That's been burning one guy in particular a lot this offseason. And I'm not going to throw him under the bus because he seems to be the most connected person that comes that's here in Houston, you know? But I want to know what happened. I think that the local media has done a terrible job of figuring that out. But I also think, like, D'Amico's like, what happened to old school journalism where you figure this out? Well, you know what happened? You know what one way of old school journalism is? It's when someone asks a question. You know? So that's where I'm at with this lack of information when it comes to Joe Mixon. I'm just curious. And I think that the way the Texans are framing it as if, oh, well, you guys just want this information for X, Y, and Z. Fine, but what happens in October, November, if he's still not ready to go? You think we aren't going to focus on the actual organization in the same way we're focusing on the Astros training staff, the Astros medical staff, and then by proxy, you? It hasn't come out yet. Texans are a pretty damn tight ship, but the speculation that it's creating is Mixon did something that he doesn't want anyone to know about, or the Texans did something that they don't want anyone to know about with the way that they are handling this. Because it went from July, oh yeah, he's just not going to be here day one, to He's going to miss at least four games, and we don't know when he's going to be back.
What happened? That's all we want to know.
713-780-3776 to call it the text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. A text from the 281. I have no problem with D'Amico's approach. I don't care how he got hurt. But yeah, I want to know approximately when you expect him back. I am totally fine with any and all player injuries being their private business. Am I interested? Sure. But I need to get upset about it? No. I think it's a very fair way to frame it. And I hope I'm not sounding like I'm upset here, because I know some people in local media are like, what the hell? I don't like being gaslit. And I think the Texans did a lot of that last year, specifically D'Amico Ryans, talking about some of the poor play offensively. And I get it. He's going to defend his players. He's not going to throw any of these guys under the bus, you know? That's for college football coaches and coaches of yesteryear, the dumping on a player at the press conference podium or at the podium in the middle of the week. And I get defending a player and saying, like, hey, we're not going to say what happened to him because we don't want this person to get hurt. But I don't know. The more that they hide it, the more I wonder, like, did they screw up? Did Joe screw up? Like, what happened? From the 832, Paul, Mixon's likely out for the season. They're deflecting likely because of this. I don't know that. I really don't know that. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We are 7 days away, a week away from the NFL kicking off. Eagles, A.J. Russ's Cowboys. It's the Paul Gallant Show. We continue that countdown next. Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
We are 7 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who is the greatest number seven of all time in the NFL? I mean, I would lean towards John Elway. Today, there's a case to be made for Bijan Robinson. Other great number sevens. And this is where it gets a little bit weird. You've got some guys who played a bazillion years ago, whose names I do not recognize. I'm just going to read some of them. George Halas. Did you know he wore number seven? Played for the Bears 1920 to 1928, I guess. You've also got Joe Theismann. Should be pronounced Theismann. You got Ron Jaworski, took the Eagles to a Super Bowl once. You got Ben Roethlisberger. And you got Michael Vick as well. Morton Anderson, shout out to him. Very entertaining guest when he occasionally is a podcast guest. Old Morton Anderson, kicker back in the day. Best seven in Texans history. I mean, it's got to be Case Keenum, right? Cougs legend. Houston Texans legend. I say that as I wear my number seven right now. Kyahmi Fairbairn wore the number for a little bit of time, you know? You've also got Brian Hoyer. I don't know about that one. Did you know that ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky wore number seven in 2009 and 2010? Dan Orlovsky, Texans legend. Honestly, makes me look at him a little bit different. I had no idea that he was a Houston Texan back in the day. So there you go. We are 7 days away. It's John Elway. Super Bowl 32 is the first Super Bowl that I got to watch start to finish. I think it's an epic game. Broncos in the new uniforms that they took on right after they lost to the Jaguars in the second round of the playoffs, the 96-97 playoffs, wearing the old cool uniforms with the orange jerseys and that awesome blue helmet with the D and the horse in the logo. And they moved to this like steroided out horse uniform, and Elway played fantastic in both Super Bowl 32 and Super Bowl 33, as did Terrell Davis. Now, as far as what's going on around the league, rather slow day, but I'm going to tip my hat to also 30-year-old Terry McLaurin, over 30-year-old Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, who wanted a contract extension but turns 30 in a couple of weeks, was asked about drop-offs for receivers after age 30. Quote, The data is the data, but I think certain people, they're outliers. Hell yeah. Me, Terry McLaurin, outliers. Outlier, Paul Gallant on the flag football field. Outlier, Paul Gallant in the sports media game. Mainly because of the fact that he struggles to stay attentive for an entire second. It's a burden that I carry with me, and I carry it so well. What else is going on across the National Football League? Dolphins GM Chris Greer said that the Miami Dolphins are resetting. He also had a bit of a bummer quote talking about what he has been dealing with having been general manager in Miami for quite some time.
From out, people have always been respectful and nice, and they just say, hey, you know, keep going, appreciate you. And so it's been, you know, the guys to my face have been nice. I know there's people that are upset, and but that's any job. And if I was comfortable and saying I felt great about what things are, then I'm an asshole because I'm not being realistic about where we are as a team and where things are going. So after last season. So I'm frustrated like they are that we didn't win enough games last year. So I understand it. Like I said, I don't take things personally, but when I'm out, people have been generally, you know, very positive and stuff to me. But I know there's guys. I mean, I've gotten some colorful emails with from a couple people, including hoping my kids die of cancer, which is a fun one. I was like, there you go. So that's why I don't take things very personal or real, because other people have other issues and stuff in life. So
that sucks. I feel for Chris Greer. Greer is 100% someone who got his foot into the NFL thanks to his dad, Bobby Greer, who, by the way, is a consultant for the Dolphins. You might remember Bobby Greer having been with the Texans for a very long period of time. Like, upon their inception, all the way through 2016, he also worked for the Patriots from 1982 through 2000. And in his Wikipedia, it says that he was a big part of the Patriots drafting Tom Brady. Chris Greer was with the Patriots as an intern in 1994, was there as a scout 95 to 99, and has been with the Dolphins since 2000, including the general manager since 2016. Look, I feel bad for Chris Greer getting comments like that. But also, he's been there going into his, what, ninth year now? And what have the Dolphins done over that stretch? This is one of those jobs where, listen, I understand it's a tough gig as a general manager, but, and I'm not justifying the comments that he got. You know, people say terrible things online. But I am saying, like, usually you should keep this stuff to yourself. I get it. You know, tell maybe if you feel threatened, actually tell like the FBI or cops or something like that. But when you're putting this stuff out there publicly, it's almost like you're playing the sympathy card to a degree. And I feel like, Chris, you're lucky to have a job, man. You're lucky to have had this job as long as you've had it. You know, again, not justifying what these fans said to him. I think it's messed up. But I also am like, how the hell has Stephen Ross been with the Dolphins since 2000? And how has he been their GM since 2016? They've stunk, you know? He's been with this organization since the turn of the century. Was Jimmy Johnson still there when he was first made the assistant director, when he was first made a scout? Like, anyway, just something I'm thinking about. Seeing that commentary. From the 346, this is interesting. I think someone might have gone to the Houston Texans team store. Joe Mixon is the only Texans jersey on sale. Do what you want with that information. Wow. Put my tinfoil hat back on. I might have to go check that out for myself, do a little investigative journalism. Big J Journal Paul here. Texas not giving us information, so I'm going to start grasping for straws. That said, I would have to drive all the way down South 610 in traffic. After 3 p.m. Is the juice worth the squeeze, AJ? No. Astros up 2-0, by the way, in the bottom of the second. 10-minute drill continues. Dalton Risner. See this? Hear about this? He signed with the Bengals. 0 sacks allowed the last 2 regular seasons per Pro Football Focus. as Jordan Schultz writes it, clearly not written for him by his agent, a proven and respected veteran lands in Cincinnati to help protect Joe Burrow. I do think that is a name that we were monitoring this offseason. As Chaz McCormick gets a single and the Astros now have runners on first and third, up 2-0 in the bottom of the second. Things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty well today. Also from the 832, told you, Paul, something is really up with this Mixon thing, bro. National media is already speculating he might not play at all this season. I feel like I've been saying that for a little bit, but maybe you texted this earlier in the offseason. Yeah. Something's up. They don't want us to know. And them not wanting us to know is making me just a little bit more suspicious. Just a little bit. What else do we have going on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston? Todd the Show says, John Elway really got to retire the best way possible. Yeah, he won back-to-back titles on the way out. And considering the beatings that he took in the three Super Bowls before that with the Broncos, good for him. The Broncos' Super Bowl history before they finally won and then became, honestly, one of the most consistent organizations in the NFL. Right? I mean, I get like the last 10 years post-Peyton Manning haven't been great. But they won two Super Bowls with John Elway. They won the one Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. They got to another. Like, they've been a model franchise since the turn of the century. Now they got Sean Payton running the show. I get that the Chiefs have kicked their ass a lot over the years, but they went from being like that team that, oh, it's just John Elway, to what they are right now. And I'm looking up the Broncos Super Bowl history because I forget what the actual final scores were, but they're 3-5 in Super Bowls. They've appeared in 8. They lost to the Cowboys in 78. They lost to the Giants in 87, Redskins in 88, and 49ers in 90. And I want to say, like, those three against the Giants, Skins, and Niners, we're talking about combined losses for John Elway of, like, 135 to, I want to say, like, 40. It was wild. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, what the hell is going on with Micah Parsons? Anything new? AJ Russ behind the glasses, beloved Cowboys. Are they going to be able to bring their best player into the fold? Find out on the flip side. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. He's negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. So I just went to NFL.com to check on the prices of Joe Mixon jerseys. If you go to the Houston Texans jersey section, there are no Joe Mixon jerseys available, at least that I can see. Which is interesting, right? There's 140 different jersey possibilities that you can buy, and not one of them on the website is Joe Mixon. And we're talking, he's a running back. We're talking Tank Dell jerseys are full price. Jalen Petrie jerseys are full price. Stephon Diggs jerseys and Laremy Tunsil jerseys are the only ones that are half off, essentially. Everything else is full priced. And if you actually look up Joe Mixon, you will see that Joe Mixon jerseys are available, but for $95.99 for men. For women, full price, $129.99. Woman buying a Joe Mixon jersey, probably not in your best interests. I'm just saying. It is available in all sizes. The last one was purchased 3 minutes ago. That is something. No road jerseys available. Huh. I'm going to do a live stream later. I might even bring my tinfoil hat home so that we can do this one. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. My first thought was, okay, maybe it's not available in all sizes. That's why they're not selling that many. That is actually wild. So, more on that. Goodness gracious. The Dallas Cowboys. They've got their fair share of conspiracies. What the hell's going on with Micah Parsons? I think it's time for another episode of Playing with the Boys.
I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about them Cowboys?
Here is the latest as far as Micah Parsons and a contract extension with the Dallas Cowboys. It's more drama than it is actual and updates. Micah Parsons, who is dealing with back tightness as part of his hold-in with the Cowboys, a very obvious hold-in to anyone who knows. He doesn't want to get fined, so he's showing up. But on top of that, he's also, like, claiming injury. Got a second opinion on his back tightness. That is such an F you to the Cowboys. It's pretty funny, actually. Just like the lying, exasperated, and what almost seemed like a staged photo during the Cowboys-Falcons preseason game. He's on the sidelines, but he's just lying on the trainer's table, looking like a toddler who's got no iPad. Just looked absolutely miserable in that one still image that is shown of him there. Huh. Second opinion on back tightness. Usually you get a second opinion when you're trying to prove that you can still play. Getting a second opinion because of an injury that probably would not keep you out normally if this was a playoff game or something like that is probably a sign that he is looking for further proof to show, like, hey, yeah, I'm not healthy. It would be something else if Jerry Jones and the Cowboy, they call him on this bluff. Because this is obviously a bluff. And the Cowboys are doing their best to handle this in a way where they are not saying what Jerry Jones once said about Jimmy Johnson, that 500 coaches could have taken the Cowboys to back-to-back Super Bowls and have won them too. More on Micah Parsons. Brian Schottenheimer said this. I want Micah Parsons to prepare for the season as soon as possible. Oh, that's wishful thinking, buddy. That is wishful thinking. Good luck with that. The actual quote from Brian Schottenheimer, which was an underwhelming hire by the Cowboys. At the end of the day, as soon as he can get out there, that's great. But again, there will be a ramp-up plan for him. And when he lines up out there to play, do I think he would play 75 plays and every play? Probably not. I don't think that's real, but I do think that he can be very disruptive, like we all know. Okay. Every day, continued Schottenheimer, he can get out there and get reps. That would be great. But I do think very strongly that him being around has helped him. Sure. Doing some of the walkthroughs and things like that, it does help. There's communication. There's signals that come from the sideline. There's communication from player to player that he's getting. All those things. But the best way to get it better, to get better at football, is to play football. So I would say as soon as possible would be the desired effect. We'll see if he's ready to go by the opener. You go back to that Cowboys documentary. You know who missed a couple of games to start off? A Cowboys Super Bowl defense? Emmitt Smith. he took that holdout a couple of games into the regular season, and eventually Jerry Jones relented and paid the man. And when Emmitt Smith came back, the Cowboys started winning. They finished 12-4 thanks to Emmitt Smith in the dislocated or strained shoulder game against the New York Giants, where both teams were 11-4. He was awesome in the second half. Cowboys win. They get the first round bye. The rest was history after that.
And then Troy Aikman suffered a concussion and doesn't remember the NFC Championship game that he played in. Anyway,
more from the Dallas Cowboys. There's another issue between the Cowboys and Micah Parsons. It's about his fifth-year option. Because I think they are in a dispute over how much Micah Parsons should be paid on that fifth-year option. Do you pay him as a defensive end, or do you pay him as a linebacker? As a defensive end, Parsons gets paid slightly less. He gets $21.324 million. Parsons believes his salary for this last year of his rookie deal should be $24 million. As a linebacker, given that he won Defensive Rookie of the Year, made the Pro Bowl three times, has been a first-team All-Pro linebacker, has been a first-team All-Pro edge rusher, I feel like the Cowboys should, at the very least, I don't know, just punt on this one.
Well, it's really more so of an NFL thing. I mean, Mike hasn't played linebacker since his rookie year, to be honest. He's been an edge rusher ever since. Like, if he's putting his hands on the ground in a 4-3 defense, like, he's an edge rusher.
You were looking that boot for Jerry Jones, A.J. Russ, Cowboys fan behind the glass. No. Just a little bit. I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, he hasn't been in that spot for a while. He technically is, like, an edge rusher. Hasn't played linebacker for a while. But the weird thing is, if you're an outside edge rusher linebacker versus an actual defensive end, you get paid slightly more, which is weird because the 4-3 versus the 3-4, all that stuff. What you're saying is right. That's exactly what the Cowboys should tell him if they want to fight this battle. But I'm sort of like, hey, give him this little win. Maybe it helps bring him back to the negotiating table. Because they're fighting over this in addition to his contract extension, too.
Yeah, I mean, but I hate how people like make it seem like Jerry didn't offer him. The thing about it is, like, Micah approached him about it, too, and then Jerry was down to talk about it. But then after they agreed to something, then Micah said, don't call him back. Call my agent and stuff like that, too. So that's why it stuck right now, because Jerry feels like, I thought we had something done, and, you know.
I think you're right. And I think David Mulugeta, I mean, he stepped to the side for a little bit and let Jerry Jones continue to do what Jerry Jones normally does, which is directly deal with players. But I think Mulugeta got pissed about this, leaked it out. I mean, he is the most powerful agent in the NFL. And I am imagining that there is some NFL Players Association pressure being put on Micah Parsons to actually, hey, man, stand your ground and let the agent do the negotiating here. And Jerry doesn't want to. And that's the impasse.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, dog.
It's fine. I mean, even if you were to sign a contract, like, say, in the next few days, I still wouldn't play on week 1 because it's too short of a, you know, period.
Do you think he'd even be ready to go?
No, honestly. I mean, he's healthy and stuff like that. That back stuff is all BS. We already know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right,
like,
for sure.
Like, I don't think it would be wise to put him out there.
I'm with you. I'm with you there. Give him a little bit of a ramp-up period.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, Cowboys, I don't think it's a bad team, especially if Dak's healthy.
Right.
Only going to take a couple of games to potentially put you in the same race as the Philadelphia Eagles, which I don't think it's crazy to ask them, but all these distractions plus Brian Schottenheimer, it's just a lot for him. Also, it does seem like Trevon Diggs, at the very least, is trending towards being ready to go in week 1. But Willie, we'll see. So there you go. Playing with the boys, Dallas Cowboys. We do this segment for ratings, and we got a Cowboys expert behind the glass in A.J. Rush. Hey, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, and on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. We were in the attitude era of Houston Texans football. Earlier in the show, we talked about ownership having the attitude that the Texans are probably closer in their eyes than they are in reality. But this attitude era is something to be excited about for the Texans going into this season. I'll share what I'm talking about on the flip side. Stay put.